Welcome to the Heart Zone, featuring George Cannon. This broadcast is a time of teaching and encouragement from Curwensville Christian Church. For more information, we invite you to visit us on the web at www.curwensvillechristian.org. And now for a message from the Heart Zone. Here's George Cannon.
All right, guys, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Now, we are doing a study through 1 John. We're probably going to be here for a few months, but we're looking at this study in terms of learning how to live in the world in which we live, which, by the way, the scriptures refer to this world as a world of darkness. Meaning, it is darkness in the sense that it's not for God or with God or seeking after God, seeking after its own. But it's also a world of darkness because the God of this world, which is Satan, rules it. And we're trying to understand how do you and I, who are believers, children of light, exist in this world of darkness. So this is our fourth message in the series. So in the first 3 weeks, we looked at a lot of different things. First week, we looked at that the main thing, period, is Jesus. And the main thing is Jesus because John is pointing out to us he's alive. We've touched him. We've handled him. We've seen him. And it's through Jesus that our joy is made complete. He then goes on and says, because of that, you know, you realize that the message of Jesus is that God is light and there is no darkness in him. And if you understand that, you really have a choice to make. There's some implications there. Do you follow and walk in the light? Or do you continue to walk in darkness? But if you walk in darkness, you don't understand the truth. The truth's not in you. And then it's manifested in how you deal with your sin. So he talks about three different reactions towards sin. There's the people who don't confess their sin. There's the people who do confess their sin and they have forgiveness. And then there are those who don't think they have any sins. Like there's, I don't have to worry about nothing. Right? What a sin. So that leads him into chapter 2, and we focused our time last week on the first two verses, which is what I want to talk about today, and that is that you're not alone. And that is, he says to you and I, I'm writing you, my little children, little born ones. So he's referring to us as little born ones. I'm writing to you that you sin not. So he's saying, you know, if you're going to walk in the light, you got to stop sinning. You got to stop doing the wrong things. You got to stop doing what God has done. But if you do, so he realizes there's that sense in which we're going to fail because why? We're sinners. And you sin. Sometimes you sin without even knowing it. That may be shocking to you, but you sin without even knowing it. But he says, you have an advocate. That word is parakletos. It means an advocate. It means a helper, someone who comes alongside of you. The old King James would say in John's gospel, a comforter. Jesus is somebody who comes alongside of you, and you're not alone. And so we could just stay there, but the problem is, can I be honest with you? When we just stay there, we develop some lazy thinking. And that's what I want to talk about first. I want to talk about some lazy thinking that you and I can develop. So here's the first one. It's a truth. Here it is. You're not alone in your struggle with sin. All right? You're not alone in this. The enemy wants you to think you're the only one dealing with this. He wants you to think it's all about you and what you do and don't do. And the fact is we already know, you and I are sinners, so with that, our tendency is to what? Fail. We're going to sin. Even your best efforts at stopping are going to end in what? Failure. Do you understand me? So he comes alongside of you and says, you have an advocate, someone who comes alongside of you and who will help you. That's who? Jesus. So that's the truth. Now you say, what's that got to do with lazy thinking? Well, here's my next point. Here's what I need you to see. For the most part, we tend to go no further spiritually. Fact is, if you talk to most Christians, they will tell you, I'm forgiven. But then that's the end of it. They don't go any further than that in their spiritual lives. As far as they're concerned, walking in the light means Jesus forgives me. And they go on to do whatever they want to do. But that's not walking in the light. That's lazy thinking. He's going to point out to us when we get to verses 3 through 6, there's actually something more that you and I need to consider. It's more than just realizing that you're a sinner and seeking his forgiveness. There's actually a step beyond that. And if you and I are wanting to live in the light while we live in this world of darkness around us, we got to understand what he wants us to do, right? And what he wants us to do is actually, can I be honest with you, an evidence of your faith. What you do with what he's about to tell us reflects whether you truly believe or not. I don't know about that, George. I think all I had to do was pray a prayer and God forgave me and everything's okay. Really? Then you're going to wrestle today with what John says, but not just with what John says, but with what Jesus says. So let's look at it together. I want you to notice with me, if you're using a Bible, let's look at verse 3 through 6 of chapter 2 in 1 John. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. All right, so here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to see, first of all, our commitment realized. And I'll talk about that here in a moment. And then we're going to see true faith expressed. So our commitment realized. Now, what do you mean commitment realized? Okay, so does everybody understand? At least I need you to understand. When we talk about salvation being by faith, I am not talking about you praying a prayer. Now, it can be expressed in a prayer. But it's not the prayer that saves you. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not a prayer that saves you. Prayer is just the confession of the mouth to God, expressing to him what should be taking place on the inside of you, in your heart when it changes. Now, what do you mean when it changes? When you and I come to a realization of who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for us, and we realize that he is the key to our salvation, and we accept that by faith, we make a commitment to follow him. Do you understand? To follow him. He becomes the Lord of our life. And so what he's saying to you is, it's not just pray this prayer and then you'll have forgiveness. And I meet a lot of Christians who operate that way. I meet a lot of Christians who are flat out deceived, thinking, and they have people tell them, I've even met people who struggle with, am I really saved? But then they'll have some dear Christian come along and say to them, you're saved because I remember when you prayed that prayer. No, no, don't say that to them. Maybe they realize something, that they're living a lie or something. Allow them to wrestle through it, because what they have to come to is a commitment to follow Jesus. They have to come to Christ. So how do we realize that commitment? Well, Jesus tells us. John tells us, first of all. Here it is. Look with me at verse 3. First part of verse 3. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Here's what I want you to see. The key to knowing that you're saved is found in your obedience. The key to knowing that you're saved is found in your obedience. Now, let me just stop. What do you mean, obedience, George? Are you wanting to bring us back to the chains? Some of us, we shook off the chains from years ago in the church where the church told you basically every aspect of your life about how to live, how to dress, what Bible to carry, where to go, where not to go, who to hang out with, where to. Are you wanting us to go back to that and we got to follow those rules again? Is that the obedience you're talking about? No, I'm not talking about that. When I talk about obedience, I'm talking about what God is telling you. When he speaks to you and he tells you to stop. When he speaks to you through his word, and when you read his word, your life is exposed by his word and you realize, oh, I need to stop that. I need to get rid of that attitude. I need to be more loving in this way. I need to do this. I need to do this or do that. That's obedience. It's obedience to God, not what some guy tells you to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's real easy for preachers and churches to come up with the rules about how to live, but I'm telling you, you can follow the rules and be nowhere spiritually. Nowhere spiritually. The obedience comes from doing what God tells you to do. Do you understand? It's in doing what he says. So the key to knowing that you're saved is in your obedience to God and what he tells you to do. And can I be honest with you? A lot of times what he tells you to do, there's a lot of things we share in what he tells us to do, but there are sometimes specific things that he's telling us to do that's only for you. That's only for you. And the question is are you doing what he's telling you to do? That's the key to knowing that you are saved. Now here's the second point I want you to see. Don't fool yourself into thinking that obedience is optional. Two things I want you to see here. Let's first of all, here's Jesus. You say, that's John, George. I don't really think that. I think Jesus would be a little bit more gracious with us. Okay, great. Here's John chapter 14, verse 15. Here's the graciousness of Jesus. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Pretty simple. Here's Jesus. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 49. Actually, if you go to 43 to 45, he talks about a good tree bearing good fruit, a bad tree bearing bad fruit, and by that you shall know what kind of tree they are, what kind of person they are. Here's what he says in verse 46. This is the graciousness of Jesus. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep, laid a foundation on rock. And when the floods arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Don't fool yourself into thinking, because I'm going to be honest with you, we live in a Christianity today. Maybe it was a reaction to the legalism of years past of being told not to do this and not do that or whatever. Maybe it was a reaction to that, but the fact is now we've got this mentality that whether or not I do what God tells me to do, that's my option. It's not an option. If he's telling you to do something, you need to do it. You need to do it. So I'll give you an example from me this week. I've been really focusing on my relationship with the Lord here lately. And something was communicating to me, you need to go back. Go back to those first years, George. And so I did. I went back, and part of those first years was I was listening to certain music back then that really, Christian music back then, that really stirred my relationship with the Lord. And so I got an Apple phone, and so I have Apple Music, and so I went back and I created my playlist of all those old songs, and I've been listening to them all week, and yeah, it really was stirring me, reminding me of those times when I really sensed God working in my life. And so I've been listening to them. Now, while I'm doing that playlist, I've got another playlist on my phone. I think you guys know, I've told you, I love classic rock music. And I felt the Spirit say to me, what are you going to do with that playlist? And at first, I just ignored it. I ignored that voice telling me, what am I going to do with that playlist? So I went to bed. Got up the next morning, drove to the Y to do my swimming, listening to the tunes on my new playlist, feeling close to the Lord, came in here to the office, and I do my Bible reading plans, I spend my time in prayer, and while I'm praying, I'm feeling like there's that voice again saying to me, George, what are you going to do with that playlist? And so I had to stop. And I was reminded, because I told you I wanted to go back to the first things, I was reminded that the music that I was listening to, because I gravitate there to the classic rock, was the music I gave up when I first came to Jesus. And I said to him, okay, Lord, deleted it off. And I said to him, I'm sorry. I went back to the old life that I gave up when I came to you. And then I kept going on. That's obedience. That's doing what God tells you to do because you want to be connected to Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know what it is in your life. You need to decide what that is, what God's talking to you about. But here's what I'm saying to you. When you look at that, when you do what He tells you to do, Jesus is saying to us in these verses, you're like a man who's building a house on a strong foundation. But if you think it's just an option, you're on shaky ground. You're on shaky ground. So this is when commitment is realized, when you hold fast to Him and you say, Lord, you're my God, I'm following you. Help me to do what you're telling me to do. Here's the other one I want you to see. True faith expressed. Look with me, verse 5 and 6. Look at what he says here. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. I got four things I want to show here. Here's the first one. When you do what God tells you, His love is perfected in you. When you do what God's telling you to do, John is saying to us, His love is perfected in you. Now that makes sense, right? If you go back to what he said, what Jesus said in John chapter 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if you're doing what he tells you to do, his love is going to flow into you. You're going to sense the relationship, the joy again. was telling somebody this week, I was with him, and as I was I've been focusing on my relationship again, getting back to where I was, you're going to think this is weird. You're going to say, man, George needs to go. Somebody needs to check him out. I actually had this feeling of excitement that God's pointing out to me the stuff that I need to stop. What? Yes, and you know why? Because it made me realize you do care about me. You do want to walk with me. You do love me. You love me so much to tell me to stop. See, if you do what God tells you to do, His love is perfected in you. In fact, here's what I want you to see. Loving God manifests itself in obedience, which results in loving others. All right, help me understand where you're going with that, George, because that just is, I mean, okay, here it is. If I love Him, I'm going to do what He tells me to do. And I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of what He tells us to do is our interactions with each other. And if you're doing what He tells you to do, whether it's changing attitudes, being there for other people, whatever He's telling you to do, it's going to result in what? You loving other people. Because the closer you get to Him, it pours out of you. Isn't that the kind of illustrations Jesus said? Out of you will flow water, living water unto others, and you'll be a blessing. And it starts where? With you just simply doing what God tells you to do. You being the person He's telling you to be. He's telling you to stop certain things. So here it is. Look with me at verse 6. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Okay, but look at the last part of verse 5. It's connected to verse 6. By this we know that we are in Him. All right, so here's what I want you to say. If you say you know Christ, you will live as He lived. So, okay, can I tell you something? I mean, I used to, when I was a younger Christian, I used to live my Christian life by what the church told me not to do or what to do. And maybe, okay, whatever. There was something in that legalism. Some of it was good, some of it was wrong, but that's not what He's talking about here. He's talking about you connecting with Him and getting to know Him, and you know Him through the Gospels. First of all, you want to know how Jesus acted with people? Look at the Gospels. You want to know how He responded to people? Look at the Gospels. And you want to do what He's telling you to do? He's saying, then live like He lived. Deal with people like He dealt with people. Love people like He loved people. This is what John is saying to us. If we say we know Him, then you'll live as He lived. You'll be becoming like Jesus. In fact, that's what the process of sanctification is. That's what the process of perfection is. You think you're perfect? Then let me see how you are with other people. Because if you're perfect, then it's going to be shown in your love for other people. So here's the final thing. This is the key to knowing you're saved. Isn't that what He said in verse 5? By this shall you know. Look what He says. By this you may know that we are in Him. Why? Because we live like He lives. This is how you know. You know, I was always struck by people when I was a younger Christian in a fundamentalist Baptist church that I was attending at the time. And then as I entered into other churches, and even as I pastored churches, I've always been struck by people who were so ready to answer Bible questions and they could pray these powerful prayers. And they just looked like, man, they're super Christian. But then the next breath, they're dressing down somebody. They're talking about somebody. They're being flat out nasty to somebody. They're being rude. They're Christian businessmen who maybe aren't doing the right thing with their job. And you look at that and you say, how does that come together? I'm telling you, Jesus is saying, it doesn't. It doesn't come together. If you know him, this is how you know that you know him, is that you love other people. God's love is perfected in you. That you're living your life like Jesus would live his life. You say, okay, George, where are we going with this? All right. I started off by telling you that we just kind of tend to drift into lazy thinking. All I need to worry about is my sin. All I need to worry about is just making sure I make my confession. Yeah, that's part of it. And yes, he is gracious. And yes, he does come alongside of you to help you to overcome it. But there is something so much more to Christianity. What do you mean? Christianity isn't just you getting forgiven. Jesus didn't just die on a cross so that you could be forgiven. Jesus died on a cross so that he could reestablish a relationship with his servants again, so that they could love him and serve him, and then he pours out love out of their life to others. So when he saved you, he didn't just save you to give you a get out of hell free card. He saved you so that you could live for him. Live for him. And how do you live for him? By doing what he tells you to do. And it's not keeping church rules. It's by being responsive to the Holy Spirit when he says to you, like he said to me, what are you going to do with that playlist? Or, what are you going to do in that relationship? What are you going to do with that person? What are you going to do with that action that you know I'm not happy about? It's obedience. And when you do what he tells you to do, you become like Jesus. And what flows out of you? Love. Love. Towards others. That, my friends, is what we should be striving for. That is what we should be seeking. To be like him. And to be honest with you, next week when we get back to this passage, when we get to verse 7 and all, he's going to remind us of a new commandment. And guess what it has to do with? Love. Love.
Hi, folks. This is George. I want to thank you for listening this morning. And I want to tell you about a free app that you can get for your mobile device that will allow you to access all the materials and information you need about our church in one device. Simply go to your app store on your Android or Apple device and search for Kerwinsville Christian Church. The app is free, and what you'll find there is everything you need to know, plus all the teaching from our church as well as this program. And we hope that you will utilize that in your search for Christ. Until next week, folks, take care and may the Lord bless you.